So now we'll discuss Be'ezus Hashem Rashi's on Parshas Vayelech. So Pasuk Beis, Moshe says, "Uchal od latzeis v'labo." I cannot go out and come in anymore. I can't lead you anymore. So Rashi says, "Yochol shetashach kochol." I might think that Moshe's strength has weakened. He physically is unable. Talmud Lomar, no. Lo kos einu v'lonos aleichol. Later on it says, Moshe was fully strong. So ma'u lo uchal, eini b'shai, I'm not allowed to, that my authority has been given over to Yoshua. In other words, don't think that Moshe was physically weak when he made this declaration. Rather, the time had come to pass things on to Yoshua. Moshe was the greatest human being of all time, and he had full strength, mamish, until the very end. Next, Anochi Hayom. He says, I'm 120 years old today. So what does it mean, Hayom? So Rashi quotes from Chazal, Hayom molu yomai ushinosai. Biyom ze nolarat biyom ze amus. That Moshe died on the same day that he was born, on Zayin Adar. This is a Gemara in Sota, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And the idea is that at Tzaddik, a person is given X amount of years. And a Tzaddik is given his full allotment of the years, i.e. his last year is full. So if a person dies on the same day as that he's born, that's a good sign that he's a big Tzaddik and he filled his days completely. And he had all of his years. Oh, that's the one shot that Rashi, in this parsha, the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Hakel, when all the Jews would gather at the base Hamikdash, and the king, the Melech, would read the Torah, would read Chumash Devarim. So it's introduced with Miketz Shav Hashanim B'moed Shnas HaShemitah. At the end of the 7 years, at the Shnas HaShemitah. So this means it was after Shemitah is over, in the first year of the next Shemitah, like the 8th year, that's when Hakel happened, on Sukkos of the 8th year. Aye, so why is it called Shnas HaShemitah? V'lama Koreos HaShnas HaShemitah, Rashi says, Shedayin Shviz Nohegespa, Ba'katzer Shal Shviz Hayotze L'Motzoi Shviz. The Torah is hinting to us that it's possible that you have the laws of Shemitah in the 8th year, after Shemitah is over. Any grain that grew a third during the 7th year, or by fruit trees if there was a chanata during the 7th year, then those fruits, that grain, has Kedusha Shviz even into the 8th year, because it's considered 7th year produce, 7th year fruits. So Rashi is saying that the way the Torah introduces the mitzvah of Hakel hints to this idea that it's possible to have peiros and produce that have Kedusha Shviz even in the year following Shemitah. Okay. Next, Tikras HaTorah HaZos Pasuk Yud Aleph. If you read this Torah, Rashi explains, HaMelech HaYakorei Mitrilos El HaDvarim. He would read from the beginning of Chumash Devarim. He would stand on a bima shel eitz shayosim ba'azara. They would build a wooden platform in the azara from which the melech would read, and somehow everyone would be able to hear. Okay. Now who came to Hakel? Everyone. Ho'anashim v'hanashim v'hataf. Men, women, and children. So Rashi quotes the Gemara. The men came lilmod. The women, Lishmoa, and the Taf, Ramabo, why'd they come? Lotet Schar Lemviehem. To give Schar to those that bring them, i.e., to their parents. Oh. You see, the next pasuk says, "Uvnei Mashal Yadu Yishmu V'Lamdu Liyiras Hashem Elokecha." The next pasuk says, that there are children that will come. They're too young to learn, but they will absorb the experience and they'll learn Yiras Hashem. So Pasuk Yud Gimel is young children. But this Pasuk Taf, Rashi is saying, Yud Beis, is even younger, like babies. They're too young to even learn from the experience. And they come only to give reward to those that bring them to their parents. That's how Rashi learns. Oh. So in Pasuk Yud Gimel it says, they love to Liyiras Hashem Okechem. They're too young to understand understand the facts. They're not understanding the mitzvos that they're hearing and the musa that they're hearing in Chumash Devarim. But they're coming to learn Yiras Shamayim. What's the idea? The experience of coming to Hakel, the Rambam describes as a tremendous experience. It instilled Yiras Shamayim. I heard from a Baruch Simon Shlita, a beautiful line. Our minds take pictures. Our minds take pictures. So when the children come and see the event of hundreds of thousands of people listening to the king, carefully read from the Torah, that event puts an imprint on their minds, on their neshama, to have more Yiras Shamayim. And that's part of what Hakel was about, to instill that feeling, on the children. Okay. Next, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. The Pasuk says, Moshe declares in Hashem's name, Ki lo si shachach mi pizaro, the Torah shall not be forgotten. We look in Rashi, Harezu havtacha li Yisrael, it's a promise. She'ein Torah mishtachachas mizar mugamri. This is a promise. This is part of the bris from the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Ches, that the Torah will never be totally forgotten. We had this earlier in Parashas Nitzavim, that Am Yisrael will never be wiped out. So this Rashi in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, should go together with the Rashi we saw back in Perek Kaf Tes, Pasuk in Perek Kaf Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem will be we will be Hashem's nation forever. We'll never be switched. And here, the Torah will never be forgotten. This is what I said, Banatavim as well. The Torah is not going to be forgotten. The Jews will always learn. The challenge is whether us and our families will be those that are learning Torah and staying connected. That is the challenge. But this is a promise. The Torah will never be forgotten. And if you look through history, you see the Yad Hashem. Hashem has always worked it out. As one Torah center is weakening, another one starts. Another one starts building up. Just in our generation, the Torah world before the Holocaust was centered mostly in Europe and some in Eretz Yisrael, and then Europe was wiped out. So Hashem worked it out that the beginning of the Torah learning in America, in the U.S., began early enough that there was somewhat of an infrastructure available so that the center of Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael moved from Europe over to America, and Hashem worked it out that the timing would be right. But America was, in a sense, waiting and ready to have the Torah come to life again when, after the world of Torah in Europe was destroyed. Pasuk Vav. So the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the Sefer Torah. Moshe tells the Levim, take the Torah, V'samta noso mitzad Aron b'ris Hashem, Elokeichem. Put it next to the Aron. So here Rashi quotes a machlokes from the Gemara Baba Basra and Daf Yud Dalet, that it says that the Torah that Moshe wrote was next to the Aron. So the simple pshat is it was next to the Aron. One pshat Rashi quotes, Yeshmeh Omrim Daf Hayabolet Min Ha'aron. There was a board sticking out from the Aron, Mibachutz, on the outside. And that's where the Torah was. In other words, the Torah was next to the Aron. But others say no. We never hear of a shelf being built. It was in the Arwan. It was inside the Luchos. It was inside the Arwan, next to the Luchos. So being placed on the side means it was at the side of the inner part of the Arwan. It wasn't like in between the Luchos. The two Luchos were one next to another, and next to the two Luchos was the Torah in the Arwan. The Gemara there explains, this depends on how big the Arwan was exactly. We know the Arwan was an Amma and a half. But the question is, there's a big discussion, for us, an Amma of six Tfachim. But some Tanaim hold that an Amma in the Mishkan was five Tfachim. So that affects how the size of everything. So that's part of the discussion here. Two opinions, where exactly was the Torah which Moshe wrote, where was it placed? Okay. Moshe continues giving Musar, and he says, I am bringing the Shamayim Ba'aretz to testify against you, that if you do Averas, they will testify. We saw you do the Averas. We saw that you accepted the bris upon yourselves, and now you're doing the Averas. Oh. And then the Torah writes, Ki Yadati, Moshe says, I know, Acharei Mosi, after I die, Ki Ashches Tashchisun. You're going to act corruptly and leave the path. Moshe's giving Musar. So this is interesting, because when you look in the Navi, Bizman Yoshua b'nei Yisrael were not Hashchais Tashchisun. It was only after he died. Rashi quotes, Vayavod Yisrael es Hashem kol yimei Yoshua. During Yoshua, b'nei Yisrael were serving Hashem very well. It was a time of the Shoftim, when there was a lot of up and down. But during the time of Yoshua, things were good. So what's pshat in the pasuk? A beautiful idea. Mikan Rashi says, Shetalmido shel Adam chavi v'lov kigufo. A person's student is as dear to him as his very self. Shekolzman Yeshua chai, as long as Yeshua was alive, hayanira l'moshe ki'ilu hu chai. It's as if he was still alive. So when Moshe says, after I die, what he meant was after my close Talmud Yeshua dies. Because whenever Yeshua is alive, it's like it's as if I'm alive as well. Beautiful idea. The connection of a Rebbe to a Talmud. That Moshe Rabbeinu, when you have a very close Talmud, you view your Talmud as a hemshech of the Rebbe. And that's, according to Rashi, Chazal, that's the pshat of the pasuk. And only after Yeshua died did this pasuk, in a sense, become true, become fulfilled, of Hashchais Tashchisun. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a comment. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Chizku ve'imsu. He gives chizuk to Bnei Yisrael to be strong. And then he says, Lo yapecha v'lo yazvecha to Yoshua. Chazak v'yamatz. Singular. So it's very interesting. He's giving chizuk to Bnei Yisrael and giving chizuk to Yehoshua. Rav Moshe writes, the message is that the Rebbe needs chizuk and the Talmidim need chizuk. The Rebbe needs chizuk. Sometimes things don't go so well. The Talmidim don't seem to be understanding. He's not sure how much he's accomplishing. Don't give up. Keep on working hard. And sometimes Talmidim need chizuk. They don't understand properly. They're not gaining properly. It's a very beautiful idea. Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us everyone needs chizuk. The Talmidim need chizuk. The Rebbe needs chizuk. And that's why Moshe gives chizuk to both. I have a proof that everyone needs chizuk. Rav Nevensal Shlita sometimes will pick up an art scroll biography and read it a few minutes. We asked his son Dobchizkiah Shlita once, well, how come your father does that? Why does he spend his precious time reading an art scroll biography? Dobchizkiah said, my father said the stories give him chizuk. Incredible. Rav Nevensal wants to get extra chizuk. He's one of the Gedolei Ador. So apparently, even Rav Nevensal feels a need or feels that he wants to get a little more chizuk, and he reads his biographies. So if Rav Nevensol can get extra chizuk, then of course we should too. We must get extra chizuk. If a person finds that shir or that sefer that gives him a little push, he should go to it and learn it again and again. Everyone needs chizuk. And that we see here in meduyuk in the language of Moshe Rabbeinu.